how responsible were you at age 15? As I look back at myself, age 15, I was probably more responsible than, I like to think of myself as more responsible than average. Everybody sort of does, I guess. But I was not equipped at age 15 to make major life decisions. There's a lot of your character, your story that's still being formed when you are 15 years old, or 14, or even 16. Yet today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And so I invite you to find that in paper Bibles, digital Bibles, access God's Word. We're actually going to be doing a fair amount of scripture reading today because we're in a series called Through the Eyes Of. We're looking at Advent through the eyes of some of the people who experienced it. Last week, we looked at Isaiah, who experienced Advent and saw the coming of the Messiah 700 plus years before it happened. Just truly remarkable. Well, today we're going to look at the person for whom the coming of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus, the birth of Jesus was most personal, Mary. Next week, we're going to be looking at Joseph. And the week after that, by the way, just because I'm kind of intrigued today, I've never taught a Christmas message on this one. We're going to be looking at it through the eyes of the angels and seeing what we can know scripturally about what the angels might have experienced at that first Christmas. So, here's the first piece of information we need to know about Mary. If Mary was, as most Middle Eastern girls were, and just coming into marrying age, no pun intended, Mary would have been maybe 14, 15, or perhaps as old as 16. So think of yourself back at age 15 or where you are right now, some of you, those of you who are at that glorious age. And because of that, that Mary's age, I wanted you to, actually, I've asked Gracie if she would sing a song for us that is singing from Mary's perspective and kind of speculating about what emotional journey Mary might have gone through. And so I'm very grateful, Gracie, for being willing to sing that. And as she sings it, just think of yourself at age 15 going through what Mary, the mother of Jesus, would have gone through.
Must I walk this path alone? as you watch my face, if a wiser one should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Breath of heaven.
Kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? So let's walk through Luke chapter 1. Let's get to know Mary better. Let's get to see Advent through her eyes. So we'll pick things up if you got your Bibles open. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." It's a pretty honest question, isn't it? "Well," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. If you've got your Bibles, your paper Bibles, underline that line. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. So here's a bit of context we need to understand. So Mary has a relative named Elizabeth. Elizabeth is well along in years. She's been praying for a child her entire life. There's this backstory of her husband Zechariah also having an angelic encounter. They're told that Elizabeth is going to conceive. It's a tremendous miracle. And how many months along is Elizabeth? Do you remember? Six. That's what the angel said. So the very first thing that Mary does is she goes to visit Elizabeth. Now, where does Elizabeth live? Let's put a little map up. I'm the map. All of you with young kids, you're like, you know where we're going. Okay, Mary's journey to Elizabeth. So Mary lived up in Nazareth. And Elizabeth lived close to Jerusalem. in the hill countries of Judea. That's what the scripture tells us. And Zechariah is served in the temple. So they lived close to the temple in Jerusalem. So Mary, age 15, would have started her pregnancy journey with 100 miles of walking. Now, she might have cut through Samaria. That was also a way through that would cut that down to a grand 85 miles of walking. Chances are she would have gone with some sort of a traveling convoy, just because that's how that typically happened. The journey would have taken somewhere between 7 to 10 days. 100 miles to go visit Elizabeth. 100-mile journey. Let's start picking up the story. So she goes to visit Elizabeth because the angel told her, well, you know, something was about to happen to her that was, quite frankly, unbelievable and scary. I mean, every pregnancy is scary. Anyone who's ever been a parent, terrifying, especially the first time, but anytime, terrifying. And yet for Mary, she was also aware that if she says yes to this pregnancy, and she did, she's already said yes, or the angel, I don't know, didn't exactly give her a choice, but she certainly agreed to it. This would risk her reputation. This would risk her future marriage to Joseph. They're betrothed, but there's no wedding date set. Not yet. A woman who is considered to be cheating on her future husband then could, in its worst form, be subject even to death. In its worst and harshest form. So it seems that Mary wants to confirm what the angel is saying. So she makes this journey and she gets to Elizabeth. Oh, I love Elizabeth. For more reasons than one. Our youngest daughter is named Elizabeth, by the way. Now, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Aren't you glad that there are Elizabeths in this world? If you've ever been called by God to do something, to take any step of faith at all, you probably didn't do it alone. God probably brought somebody along in your life who believed in God and believed in you enough to give you courage. Have you had an Elizabeth in your life? I hope you do. We can be Elizabeths to one another. Because, you know, sometimes when somebody says, "I'm doing what I believe the Lord is telling me to do," not everyone's going to get it. Not everyone's going to be clapping and cheering, especially with all the way the culture around us is changing. I'm following Jesus. Very few people are going to applaud you. So thank God for the Elizabeths in your life. Before we move on, does somebody quickly come to mind for you as an Elizabeth? And if so, just shout out their names, just so we can give thanks. You have a literal Elizabeth in your life. Yeah. Sherry is an Elizabeth in your life. Who's another Elizabeth in your life? Lila. Your daughter Lila. That is awesome. Ray Cook. Bob Rogers. These are Elizabeths in our lives. People who believe in us, maybe even before we believe in ourselves. And so Mary, as she is responding to the Holy Spirit's work in Elizabeth, who is voicing all this belief and trust in, quite frankly, the unbelievable. Mary says this. Oh, this is the best. Okay. Remember, how old is Mary, roughly? Likely? We don't know exactly. 14, 15. Let's read this section. Imagine this coming off the lips of your 14-year-old, your 15-year-old. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things in me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Ho, 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 ho. Where do you think she got that from? I mean, we could spend a whole month looking at this. Is often called the Magnificat. You know, this incredible poem of praise that Mary just seems to flow right off of Mary's lips. If you're tracking all the kind of the theological hyperlinks, there are dozens of theological hyperlinks in this passage. Mary is doing some deep, high-level theology here. Did she learn that from her parents? Her grandparents? How educated was she? We don't know. We do know this. She had Jesus living inside of her. She was filled with something. And you know what? When you have Jesus living inside of you, you have capacities to do things that you couldn't do before. You'll start to understand God's word on a level that you haven't understood it before. You'll start to have the emotional capacity to do things that you cannot do on your own because you have Jesus living inside of you. Well, Mary, she had Jesus living inside of her, didn't she? And Mary was probably pretty educated as well. Now, that doesn't mean she has letters after her name, but it means that somewhere along the way, somebody invested in Mary enough to teach her the scriptures, and Mary was able to put the pieces together in a pretty remarkable way. So Mary's hanging out with Elizabeth. In verse 56 tells us that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about how long? 3 months, and then went home. Now, I want to enter into something that's just a little bit of biblical speculation. I'll be doing a little bit of that throughout this message. So sometimes I bring up like a yellow piece of paper, like, you know, we don't know this for certain because the Bible does not say this clearly. But if you will, with me, let's do a little bit of Bible math. How far along was Elizabeth when Mary had the announcement given to her? 6 months. Roughly how long did the journey to Elizabeth's house take? 7 to 10 days, okay. And how long did Mary stay with Elizabeth? 3 months, that's what the Bible tells us. Now, so 6 months plus 3 months plus maybe a few days is how long? More than 9 months. See, I believe it is very, very likely this next passage is one that Mary is among the witnesses for. I mean, the passage talks about the Elizabeth's relatives were there. Now, the narrative focuses on Elizabeth again. The spotlight, if you will, shifts to Elizabeth, but that doesn't mean that Mary wasn't there for this next passage. And so I want us to hear this because even though this is speculation, this is part of Mary, I believe this is part of Mary's training. This is part of one of the graces that God allowed her to experience so that she would have the courage to face what she was about to face. Verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard what that the Lord had shown his great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he has to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to the father to find out what he would like to name the child. And if you remember from earlier parts in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah, because he didn't believe the angel, Zechariah has been struck mute. He hasn't spoken for 9 months. Now, maybe this was a gift to Elizabeth, I'm not sure. But it certainly got Zechariah's attention. It got his attention. He has not spoken for 9 months. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. I think there was a good chance that Mary was present to watch this, to watch Zechariah's lips opened, to watch Elizabeth's birth before she headed home. Which case, I mean, taking my speculation into account, here's what I think was the likely timeline. So let's put that up. Just kind of walk through that. So Mary meets with the angel Gabriel. So she hears the announcement. Mary immediately goes to visit Elizabeth, which is a 100-plus-mile journey. Mary may have witnessed the birth of John. And then Mary returns to Nazareth. Now, she's now about 3 months into her pregnancy, or a little bit more given the travel time, almost 4. So now she's starting to show. I think that was the point where Joseph learns of Mary's pregnancy. Because remember, Mary, after the announcement, she immediately went to go travel with Elizabeth, and she was not texting with her future husband. "Hi, you sitting down? Big news coming, LOL." No, Mary didn't have any of that. None of that. She was 100 miles away. They're not writing letters. And at this point, I mean, they have been betrothed to one another, yes, but this is something that their parents set up. That's how Middle Eastern marriages worked. Now, in a healthy family, the children will be consulted. It's not happening against their will necessarily. But, I mean, they're betrothed, but there isn't a wedding date yet set. So she and Joseph, their interactions are minimal at this point. So Joseph, I believe this is the point where they come back, and Mary, well, something's going on for Mary, and everybody knows, and now Joseph knows. Mary tells him the story. It seems that at first Joseph doesn't believe it, but he has in mind to divorce her quietly so that she doesn't experience the full extent of the legal penalties that could be possible for her. He is a gracious man. And then God intervenes. And he has the dream and trusts God as well. And then something between 5 and 6 months later, Joseph brings Mary with him to Bethlehem. Now, we can take down the timeline, and thanks team. One of the things about this story that again, this is a little bit speculative, so bear with me, but I find this fascinating, is if we read this story from a Middle Eastern perspective, the absence of the parents is telling. There's no mention of Mary's mom and dad. No mention of Joseph's mom, dad. In fact, if you think about it, for Mary to be 9 months pregnant in her hometown and her future husband needs to take a trip for a census, there's not really on its own a reason for her to go with him. Why not stay at home where she's surrounded by family, where there's midwives that have been part of all these births over all these years, trusted people. When you are, ladies, if you have ever gone through pregnancy, wouldn't you want to be with people you knew at your birth, the time of birth? So there's a, why did Mary travel with Joseph is actually a live question in the scriptures. Here's what I think. Again, this is a little bit speculation, but compare this to the word. I think Mary traveled with Joseph because that was the safest place for her to be. As crazy as that might be, making another 100-mile-plus journey to Bethlehem. I think there's a very good chance that somewhere in this whole process that Mary's relationship with her parents were strained, if not broken. Maybe Joseph's family or his family in Nazareth might have withdrawn their support as well. At the moment, maybe Joseph was one of the very few, and maybe in Nazareth, the only one who believed her. So it's safer to make a 100-mile journey down desert roads when you're 9 months pregnant than it is to stay home. You know, sometimes following Jesus is enormously risky. And sometimes God calls us to do things that, quite frankly, are terrifying. And Mary said yes. Now, I wanted you to hear the song, and Gracie, you sang it so well. Thank you for doing that, by the way. I wanted you to hear it both because of the song, but also because of the one singing it, so you could empathize with this is... Mary would have likely been somewhere around Gracie's age. And just to imagine what she would have gone through. But there's something in the song, and also something in my other favorite Christmas Mary song, and yeah, we will sing it in a few weeks. Mary, Did You Know? As we read the actual scriptures, we read the Magnificat, here's the thing, Mary knew. Now, Mary may not have known everything, but Mary knew quite a bit. And now, Mary may have, just as Gracie sang so well, Mary may have felt very scared. Mary may have felt very vulnerable because Mary was as human as you and me. But what this song leaves out that we need to hear if we're going to understand Mary is Mary was brave. Oh, Mary was brave. And Mary was willing to trust God for something that in all likelihood, other than a very few people, thank God for the Elizabeths in this world, thank God for the Josephs in this world, but in all likelihood, she had to follow God's plan with very little immediate support. Mary was one tough cookie. She was one brave woman. Brave beyond her years. Wise beyond her years. And filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you hear the story of Mary, think, wow. 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 And so I want to close with this one big idea. What made Mary so brave? Why did Mary have so much courage that she was able to say yes to live into God's plan, even though it's in all likelihood very few people would believe it? very few people, is at the very core of Mary's identity. And we see this in her exchange with the angel Gabriel. Mary says this, I, say it with me, am the Lord's servant. Say it again. I am the Lord's servant. Your greatest strength in life, my greatest strength in life, isn't going to be found in your gifts, though you probably have many. It's not going to be found in your resources, though thank God here in the West we have quite a few. It's not even going to be found in your leadership, though good leaders make a huge difference. Bad leaders can cause a lot of problems. Mary's strength was not because of her leadership. It was not because of her gifts, though she had it. She had both of those things. She was a great leader. She was gifted. She was brave. Mary's strength was found in her following. I am the Lord's servant. And my friend, if you are a follower of Jesus, that is your core identity. Just kind of like we looked in the book of Galatians, you're a child of God. That's a core identity. And if you're a follower of Jesus, your following of Jesus is your core identity. Leadership is a function. It's something God may call you to. But when he calls you to it, it's temporary. It's a gift. But who you are is a follower. And as we follow Jesus, we are filled with Jesus. We're empowered by Jesus. We encounter and experience the strength of Jesus living inside of us. Now, Mary experienced this in a very, very practical way. But each one of us can experience that in our own way as well. Jesus lives inside you. He's a capital K Jesus, a capital J Jesus. So I'm a musician. I can't get my letters right. Capital J Jesus, and you're a small J Jesus. Even the word Christian, it was originally a derogatory term. It just means little Christ. You're a Christian. You're a little Christ. I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. What risky thing is God calling you to? What act of trust? I am the Lord's servant. That's where Mary found her strength, and that's where we find our strength too. In that way, be like Mary. Mary was the Lord's servant. And so are you. And so am I. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for this incredible story of this incredible, brave young woman. Thank you that Mary submitted her life to you. Her future to you, her safety to you. So Lord, we pray for one another because we know that as we say yes to your call in our life, you're also going to call us into some scary places. And it may or may not, we may or may not have the support of family around us as we follow. We know we will likely not have the applause of culture as we choose to follow. We know that as we follow, we may end up going places that on our own we wouldn't have gone. We're grateful that you don't tell us the future so we don't talk ourselves out of doing your will. But Lord, we are your servants too. So friends, I just invite you under your breath right now to just to talk to God about that. And you might even use Mary's words as you speak to him. Lord, I am your servant. Lord, I am your servant. I just invite you to take a moment with that. And if for any reason today, if you're feeling distant from God, this could be that incredible reconnection point. Or this might be that first step of faith. Lord, I am your servant. I trust your plans for me because I trust your heart for me. I know that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross so that my sins could be forgiven, so that I could truly and fully be a child of God. Lord, thank you that I am yours. Thank you that you live inside me now. And I am the Lord's servant. Just take a moment under your breath and talk to the Lord about that.